Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. After reaching Greece, Paul became a fearless witness for Christ in a pagan culture. He explained the true God to philosophers used to having many gods. Today, we see Paul as a role model in how to confront the world with the gospel. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a series on the legacy of a converted man. We're in Athens, atop Mars Hill, watching Paul defend his faith. Join Dr. Lutzer now with Witnessing for Christ.
We live in a very pluralistic world, don't we, here in America? Yesterday, I Googled spirituality into Google and discovered that there is no clear definition of what spirituality really is. And the reason for that is because we have today so many different views as to what spirituality might be entailed, what might be entailed in spirituality, and there is no given core of doctrine or belief that unifies the idea. There are so many people who say, and some of you may be saying, I'm into spirituality, but I'm not into religion. I don't like anything formal, but I am a spiritual person. So today in America, what it is popular to do is, like a smorgasbord, you take a little bit of Hinduism, you like a few things from Eckhart Tolle, you throw in some angel theology, and of course, some sayings of Jesus, and you have a concoction that is just right for you, filled, of course, with your own ideas. You may be here today thinking that. You may say to yourself, I'm content with my own view of God, with my own view of who I am, and I don't need anything else. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he was in Athens, encountered a culture just like that. It's the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, and this happens to be number 3 in a series of messages titled The Legacy of a Converted Man. Here was a man steeped in Judaism, but he ends up being the most grateful and most powerful man to spread Christianity in the early century. And we have to, for time's sake, not speak too much about the context, but to plunge right in. We're in Acts chapter 17. He has been in Thessalonica. He stirred up a number of people there. He had to leave. They took him to Berea. Some people who hated him came to Berea, and so he ends up in Athens. Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, there were others who were going to join him. His spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. Let's stop there. Our task as apologists, that is, defending Christianity and defending the faith, has to begin with concern. He was provoked. As he saw this city full of idols, the great city of Athens, a Roman said that it was easier to find a god in Athens than it was to find a man. He sees the city given over to idolatry, and his heart is deeply moved within him for two reasons. First of all, because he was concerned about the people themselves. I mean, these were people who really didn't know God. They didn't know his forgiveness. They certainly did not understand grace. And that should really trouble you and me today also in our culture. There's a second reason, undoubtedly, and that is that, to quote the words of Henry Martin, who was a great missionary among Muslims, he said, I cannot live unless I see Jesus glorified. So as Paul surrounded himself with the Athenians and saw what was happening, He knew that this was a culture that wasn't glorifying Jesus, and he was deeply moved. It was a culture something like a waitress that Rebecca and I encountered last week, who said that, yes, she believed in Jesus, she read the New Testament, but she also read the Gnostic Gospels, and she believed in that Jesus too, and she had her own little religion. But Jesus, the Jesus of the New Testament, was not exalted. I ended by telling her, someday when you're overwhelmed with guilt and you don't know where to turn, it's the Jesus of the New Testament that you're looking for. Are our hearts concerned about our city and our community that does not know Jesus as Savior and Lord? And then Paul had a two-pronged strategy. You'll notice it says, verse 17, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons. And how did he reason? He reasoned from the scriptures. That's exactly what the previous verses say when he was in Thessalonica and elsewhere. He reasoned from the scriptures. But that wasn't the end of his strategy. You'll notice it says that he also met people in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Now, in that context, he did not begin with the scriptures, as we shall see in a moment. And you and I have to understand that when we are in church, there is one strategy, and that is the proclamation from the scriptures, believing that most people who attend here, and probably most people who listen, have respect for the Bible and believe the Bible. So every Sunday here at the Moody Church, we preach the Bible. But if you go to State in Madison and you begin to ask people there what they think about Jesus or God, and you quote the Bible, they may dismiss it and say, you know, it's a book of fairy tales. Why should I believe it? So the Apostle Paul had a different strategy for folks like that. It's interesting that this month at Moody Church happens to be Outreach Month. And what we must do is to begin to think in terms of the marketplace, where you work, the people you encounter on the train or in a restaurant or on a plane, wherever you may be, you represent Christ, and there are people out there that we need to be able to graciously encounter their experience and where they are at, and then eventually, as God helps us, to get to Jesus. Now, you'll notice that there are two kinds of philosophers there in Athens. Verse 18, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. The Epicureans, they believed that matter was the final reality. When you died, there was no existence beyond the grave. So naturally, they would think, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So Epicureans are generally identified with pleasure, though they did emphasize the higher pleasures. But they did not believe in the existence of spirit or God in any meaningful sense. The Stoics, they believed that there was a spirit world. Their God was the world. Pantheism, they'd have felt very comfortable with various views that are found in the Eastern religions, with views such as Hinduism. When you die, your soul is absorbed in the great oneness of the universe, and you disappear, but you may appear later. But the point is that there is a spirit world, and they believe that the highest duty of man is indeed duty. You do your duty. That's why we speak about being stoical. You're committed to duty, whether you feel like it or not. So here you have two opposing views in Athens, and they listen to Paul, and they don't get it. Look at what happens. They say, now I'm still in verse 18, what does this babbler have to say? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. And that they brought him to the Areopagus, which is Mars Hill, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting, for you bring some strange things to our ears." My fellow Christians, you and I have the responsibility in this culture to bring strange things to people's ears. Things that they are not hearing anymore, since we live in a post-Christian era, no longer a Christian consensus, and that's our calling. And unfortunately, we're oftentimes so intimidated. This past week, I preached 10 times. Now, what were you doing last week? Don't worry, it was a piece of cake. I preached the same message every morning. Message twice, so that means I only preach really five times because I repeated it in a different location. But there was another speaker there who made this statement. Another Bible teacher says he is more concerned about the church than he is the Supreme Court. Wow. You know, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. I hope that you understand that when the Apostle Paul was there on Mars Hill, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Athenians, that he proved that the gospel has the ability to even save those who are filled with intellectual skepticism, unbelief, and pride. As we'll discover next time, at the end of his message, you know, there were those who believed on Christ, and the gospel of Jesus Christ in this way came to the city. Now, how does this relate to us? We have the privilege today of representing Jesus Christ wherever he has planted us. You, in your work, in your family, among your relatives, of course we don't stand on Mars Hill like the Apostle Paul did and we preach sermons to people. But we do believe that the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is transforming. After all, it transformed you, didn't it? And if it hasn't, this is your opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ, to trust him as your Savior, and prove the fact that the gospel is indeed, as I've mentioned, the power of God unto salvation. If Running to Win has been a blessing to you, would you connect with us? Now, it's very easy to do. You go to our website, moodymedia.org. That's moodymedia.org, and you click on the contact button, and there you can connect. You can ask a question. You can tell us that Running to Win has blessed you. And in this way, we know that we're having a continuing ministry in your life. And by the way, thanks also to the many of you who support us. We are dependent upon your support week by week. Thank you in advance because we are making a difference for the cause of the gospel.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing Witnessing for Christ, the third of six messages on the legacy of a converted man. Next time, why you and I can boldly proclaim the truth like Paul. This series on the life of Paul can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When you call or write, ask about the legacy of a converted man. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.